Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Ask me another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. Hey, I meant to mention this to you. We haven't talked about this. I am fully vaccinated.
Me too. Fully vaccinated. 2 shots plus 2 weeks, baby.
Me too. Double vax at 2 weeks out.
That's time to go to a hug and kissing party.
You can't get more vaccinated. Someone asked me how vaccinated I am. I said I'm the most vaccinated I can get right now.
There is no more vaccinated state than the state that I am in right now. Where did you get your vaccination?
I went to the Javits Center in New York, which is, of course, a huge convention center that I've only been to in the past for a Comic-Con.
That's exactly my feeling and experience of Javits Center, too. If your only experience there is Comic-Con, you're used to people dressed up like the Incredible Hulk and Mario and anime characters that you've never heard of, and it's a bizarre scene.
So right, the only way that people are dressed up now is as medical professionals and members of the military in some sort. Those are the
very specific cosplay.
Yes, exactly.
I witnessed one conversation. There was a gentleman with gray hair, gray ponytail, the sort of aging hippie type, who was being directed by somebody in camo fatigues, and he was directing him to station number 9 to get his vaccination, and the ponytail gentleman was saying number 9, quoting of course the old Beatles song from the White Album, which is this crazy cacophonous pieces of tape spliced together, and the younger guy was like, I don't know what that is. And the ponytailed guy was saying, it's an old Beatles song, it's like a psychedelic song. And I caught his eye and I gave him a special old dad salute, because I didn't want him to feel alone, but he was there, he was bubbly and excited, and he was just making little dumb dad jokes. It's a very pleasant place to be.
Number 9. We have 5 awesome guests on today's show. From Will and Grace, Jack McFarland himself. Sean Hayes will join us for some trivia. He's also a game show producer. He created Hollywood Game Night, so we are not going to go easy on him. And we have the stars of the new Mike Schur sitcom, Rutherford Falls, Ed Helms and Janice Schmieding. They both write on the show, so we have an appropriate game of this, that, or the other for them called The Pen is Mightier Than the Swordfish. Plus, from the band Real Estate, the delightful Alex Bleeker and Martin Courtney will take on a game parodying songs from the 1990s. So let's do it. Our first two guests are friends who also play friends on the Peacock series Rutherford Falls. Ed Helms and Janice Schmieding star as the main characters Nathan and Regan. Nathan's ancestors founded Rutherford Falls, and Regan runs a Native American cultural center. Ed, Jana, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Hello, hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, by the way, so you play best friends on Rutherford Falls, old friends and best friends. Did you have the opportunity to do anything to, hang out and start creating that kind of vibe?
Yeah, I think what was cool is that we hadn't cast the show before we started writing, so we were just pals in the writer's room having a great time, tons of laughs, just a great camaraderie. And then, how many months was that, Jana, that we were able to actually meet and write together?
Yeah, it was January through May, the writing process.
Yeah, which was so great. And I think it's cool that you became Regan much later in that process, which allowed our friendship to kind of blossom in a very organic way. There was no sort of like, oh, we better get along because we're going to be castmates or anything like that.
Absolutely.
Later on, we cast a wide net and auditioned a lot of people for the part of Regan Wells, and Jana just swooped in and nailed it. And it was like, hey, this person, this amazing writer from our team is also going to be co-star.
And Jana, I noticed your earrings. You also wear beautiful beaded earrings on the show, and you do beadwork yourself. Can you tell me more about those pieces?
The ones in the show are, some of them are mine. I worked together with the costume department to make sure that a different native bead artist was featured in each episode. So it's a combination of my own beadwork and beadwork from other native designers across Turtle Island.
Oh, wow.
You know, beyond that, there are some native fashion designers who are featured on the show as well. There's native folks just have a lot of touch across the community on our show. It's really exciting.
It is a joyful show. So thanks for putting new content into this world, because you know that we need it.
Yeah. Yes, well, also Peacock needs it. That's where it's streaming.
And, more to the point,
I think we're one of the first original comedy series on Peacock, which is a distinction we're very, very proud of. And hopefully we'll get a lot more eyeballs on that service.
All right. Do you guys want to play a couple games?
I love games.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, great. So we've got a couple for you. In this first one, you're going to take turns answering questions. That's how we do it. This first game is an audio quiz called Opening Acts. We're going to play you a clip of a famous musician, but it's their earlier gig, right before they catapulted to superstardom. All right.
I love it.
Jana, this first one is for you.
Oh, no.
In 1993, this future pop star and singing judge on The Voice joined the cast of the all-new Mickey Mouse Club.
I know this one, thank God. This is none other than Christina Aguilera.
Absolutely. That is correct.
How old is she in that recording?
She was cast at 12. So, yeah, she was 14 in that one.
What?
She has the voice of a woman.
Yeah, she does.
Right?
She really does.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, that's incredible.
She does that little, like, very mature, like a really soulful scrape. It's a classic Christina.
So in 1993, too, the cast that she came from also included Britney Spears and Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. I had a real hard time reconciling the movie Drive with his being on the Mickey Mouse Club. Like, when he stomps on that guy's face and
it's a different vibe.
It's kind of like pop culture like went through a wormhole in that moment.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Ed, here's another one for you. This singer and rapper showed us what she could do in the movie Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
Who got no belly? My style is really if you let me. Or if I choose to, because when the zip said I don't have to. So think again before you test the system. Because with my girls behind me, we got lots of problems.
None other than Lauryn Hill.
That is correct. Lauryn Hill. Yeah.
By the way, whoever named the sequel Sister Act 2 Back in the Habit should name all sequels.
It's a good one.
I feel like Curly's Gold might be the best sequel name.
Curly's Gold. All right. Jana, before she became the queen of pop, this icon was part of the band's Breakfast Club and Emmy and the Emmys.
That song is so strange. What?
Right? Right?
It's like bubblegum emo.
So I'm going to say Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm. What if I said to you that, what did she say in that song that was High Society? That's a good hint because she also was known as a material girl.
Oh, it's Madonna.
Yeah. Madonna
Queen of Pop.
Used
yes,
to go
of course.
By Emmy. That was her nickname before Madonna. Emmy.
Hmm. What a sweet girl.
All right, Ed, this is the last one. It's for you. This musician was the lead singer and organist in the psychedelic rock band Attila.
About 2 years ago, working in a rodeo, I saw the strangest looking man playing in a rock and roll band. He had a 20-foot mustache. He wore a purple lavender sash. The drummer brought him on the crash. They introduced the one and only California Flash.
Okay, wow. That song is awesome. That is some. That's just some like grinding 70s organ funk, and I love it.
Pretty groovy.
And it's clearly a different side of Billy Joel.
That is correct, yeah.
Billy Joel was, I think, my first like arena concert. The Bridge Tour was one of my first.
Me as well. That was one of my first concerts. Arena shows. I have a picture of myself wearing the Bridge t-shirt from that tour and holding up my driver's license when I was 16 years old.
Jonathan, our lives are overlapping in ways that is making me uncomfortable.
Agree.
I used to do improv on like Saturday nights at a theater called the Magnet Theater in New York City, and it was two blocks away from MSG. Certain Saturday nights, because Billy Joel had a residency at Madison Square Garden, right. You would hear his helicopter land like flying to MSG because he took a helicopter like from wherever he lived on like Long Island to the show every
straight every from
night.
His house to the show. Yeah.
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah, it was
oh
cool.
That's so rock star. I love that. To fly in from the Hamptons and just drop down right in MSG.
Yeah.
Rock everybody's
probably like 10 minutes before
off.
He was going
that's
on
thing,
too
right?
You know
exactly.
It's probably like they would land and then run out on stage.
Oh, that's so awesome.
You guys did great with that game. That's all I want to say. You both did fantastic with that game. Well done. Well done. More with Ed and Jana after the break, and we'll play games with Alex Bleeker and Martin Courtney from the band Real Estate. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
Number 9. This message comes from Capital One, presenting sponsor of the 2024 Tiny Desk Contest. Earlier this year, unsigned musicians from around the country submitted their original songs for the 10th annual Tiny Desk Contest. The panel of judges are hard at work picking standout entries, and you can follow along and choose your favorite videos as well. The winner gets to play their very own Tiny Desk concert, then headline a tour with NPR Music this summer. Want to come along for the ride? Visit tinydeskcontest.npr.org to learn more, then check out the Venture X card from presenting sponsor Capital One. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive, and it's Name Your Price tool. Say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show coverage options within your budget. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. We're playing games with the stars of Peacock's comedy series Rutherford Falls, Ed Helms and Jana Schmieding. Are you ready for another one?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
All right, cool. Hey, you're going to play one of our favorite games. It's called This, That, or the Other. It's very simple. We're going to give you the name of something, and you just have to tell us which of three categories it belongs to. Jonathan Colton, what are today's categories?
Well, Ophira, today's theme is the pen is mightier than the swordfish. And so every answer is either a company that makes fountain pens, a part of a sword, or a kind of fish.
Okay, so that is all there's to it. Ed, this is for you. Arowana.
It's a grocery store in Los Angeles. I have never heard of this word, this in a non-grocery store context. So I'm going to say it sounds kind of fishy to me.
It is fishy.
All right.
Well done. Yeah. It is also called the dragonfish for its majestic scales and whiskers.
Well, I wish you'd said dragonfish, because then it would have been a lot easier.
Yeah, that would have made it clear.
Right. Yeah. Is a dragonfish a sword or a pen?
All right, Jana, here's one for you. Quillen. Okay. Quillen. Pen company, sword part, or fish?
I'm going to say this seems like it might be a pen company, but I'm going to go with sword part.
You are correct.
Yes.
Yeah, it is a... It is the technical name for the arm of a sword's crossguard. I don't even know what a crossguard is.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know.
Crossguard is a fish.
Crossguard, yeah, crossguard is a fish. I think the sword has a...
hilt.
The thing that protects, you know, if you cross swords and it goes all the way down, you don't want it to slide all the way down and cut your hand off. So you have a guard there to keep the sword from... I think that's the crossguard.
Right. Before this, I swords were like sharp part, not sharp part. That's what I knew about them.
That's right. Pokey part, holdy part.
By the way, I accidentally bought my 5-year-old son a sword, a plastic sword, but it is his favorite toy of all time.
When you say accidentally, what do you mean exactly?
So my son wants a ninja costume, and so I bought one online, as I do. But I thought I'll just give it to him, you know, some point in the future. You know, sometimes you just gather things so you can bring them out in a moment to be like, and a costume. And I didn't realize it came with a sword. I didn't really read it very well. And so just the sword shipped. And so I got this box, but I thought it was a planter for some plants that I had also ordered. And I was like, oh, my planter came. And I opened it up and there was a plastic sword. And it was like, like bait, like I've seen no other. He literally just went, sword, grabbed it, and like ran. And that was it.
Right.
That was it. Never to be seen again. The sword.
Well, he probably was really disappointed it wasn't a planter.
Really looking forward to some more flowers.
Some ninjas are assassins. Others enjoy herb gardens.
Horticulture.
Herbologist. That's right. All right, Ed, stipula.
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 This could really go in any of the three categories quite well. I'm going to go with sword part.
It does seem like it could be a sword part. But indeed, it is a fountain pen company. According to Britannica, the first practical fountain pen was made in 1884. Before then, writers had to dip their pens into an inkwell over and over again. But fountain pens, of course, have a reservoir of ink.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is some nerdy stuff right there.
I know.
Jana, sailor.
Sailor?
Spelled in the traditional manner. Sailor, pen, sword, pen company, sword, part, or fish?
Again, it could be all three. I feel like there probably is a sailor fish, but I'm going to go with pen company just to be unique.
You are absolutely correct. It is a fountain pen company.
God, I'm good. I'm good at this game.
You really are weirdly good at this game. Yeah, and also according to Britannica, pens can be traced back to calligraphy brushes used in China thousands of years ago. Metal pens are a relatively recent invention, although a pen made of bronze was found in the ruins of Pompeii.
Oh, wow. Boy.
I know. That's a dark, like, oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Somebody's probably writing a letter.
Well, once again, you both did fantastic. I think we know how that went, and I think it went extremely well. Ed Helms and Jana Schmieding star in the comedy series Rutherford Falls. All 10 episodes are streaming now on Peacock. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you. That was fun.
Where's my love when the sky begins to turn and the air is cool like water? The music you're hearing is from the band Real Estate, and we're not playing it for no reason. We're playing it because our next two friendtestants are from the band Real Estate. Their new EP is called Half a Human. Martin Courtney, Alex Bleeker, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Happy to be here.
And you two know each other. How far back are we talking? I know you went to high school together in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Is that right?
Yeah, my first memory of Martin, earliest memory, although I'm sure we shared space together before this, was Little League baseball tryouts in the third grade, I think.
Wow.
You know, he was from a different neighboring rivalry elementary school, so things got got a little heated between us on the the line as we were ready to go and show our obviously formidable baseball skills, which is why we both became musicians, you know?
Yeah.
And Martin, the name of the band, Real Estate, that is somewhat inspired from your life. Is that right?
Right. After going to college and moving back to my parents' house in New Jersey, I had still no clue what I wanted to do with my life. And my parents are in real estate, and so I just decided to go to real estate school to get my license because I thought maybe that would be something I could do for a while. But yeah, and then we were kind of at the same time in the process of starting this band, reconnecting as friends. And yeah, and we didn't have a band name. And I forget who came up with the idea originally, but I think my mom encouraged it because she was like, yeah, you guys could all be in this band by night, and by day, you guys should all get your real estate licenses and come work for me, and you can call your band Real Estate.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think your mom and dad would still hire us? Because,
you know, right? Like,
all right, we have a couple games for you guys. So, Martin, before the show, you told us that your areas of knowledge include regional fast food chains, malls, JFK Terminal 4. Is Terminal 4?
The Delta, the Delta Terminal, which all of us in the band are pretty well acquainted with, at least as it existed like 2 years ago or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so inspired by consumerism, you're going to play a game called A Brand by Any Other Name. So in this quiz, you're just going to correctly identify brands that have different regional names around the United States. We're going to give you one name that the brand goes by, and you're going to give us the other.
Okay.
Okay, pretty easy stuff. Martin, this first one is for you. The biggest difference between these fast food sister brands is attitude. Carl's Jr. is infamous for its hot and steamy ad campaigns, while its Eastern counterpart focuses more on its hot and steamy Angus Thick burgers. But in both places, you'll find a happy star mascot.
It's Hardee's.
Yeah.
Okay,
it
good.
Is correct. Yes.
All right, Alex. Girl Scout cookies are made by two different bakeries. If your local troop contracts with ABC Bakers, you'll be eating a whole box of Caramel Delights in one sitting. But if they sell the little brownie versions, you'll be eating a whole box of this similar cookie.
Ooh, is it Samoa's?
It is Samoa's, yes. The best Girl Scout cookie.
My favorite Agreed. Girl Scout yeah. cookie by far. Mm-hmm. And also, I will say, my wife is Canadian. And
me too.
So, do you have like a whole other set of Girl
yes.
Scout cookies out there?
Or yes.
Girl,
like bizarro world of Girl Scout cookies.
Girl Guide cookies, am I right?
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah. And she is like, what the heck are these things here in the States? She's like, this is a poor facsimile of what a Girl Guide cookie is. It's very
Agreed.
Disappointing
oh, wow.
to her.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. You know what? And thank you, Alex. I brought this up before in the show, and just everyone goes, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
But see,
right.
now I have some validity.
You've got some proof. I mean, I also tell her that she's wrong.
This is how it goes. This is how it goes. All right. Martin. Duane Reade is a New York City drugstore chain named for the two streets bounding its original Manhattan location. In 2010, it was acquired by America's second largest drugstore chain. Since then, most Duane Reade stores have adopted the same red and white color scheme and product line as their new corporate overlords.
Rite Aid?
The other one. Keep going.
CVS?
One more.
Oh my God, Walgreens?
There you go. That's correct. I went into a Walgreens Duane Reade to buy something, and I felt, I was like, this is good that I'm shopping locally. And all I meant by that was I wasn't ordering it from Amazon. Like, it's weird that Walgreens felt like I was shopping.
All right, here's the last clue, Alex. It's for you. The St. Louis Bread Company is known as the St. Louis Bread Company in St. Louis, where the brand got its rise. That's a little joke. But in most other places, you fill up on free sourdough samples at a place called this, which means bread basket in Spanish.
Ooh, is it Panera?
It is Panera. That's right.
I love Panera.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
I'm a Panera fan.
I'm trying to think. Because they also do the bread bowl for the soup, right?
Can't resist a bread bowl.
Oh, love that's the best bowl. Part. I wish they did it for spoons and knives, too.
Bread spoon.
Bread. You both did fantastic. Well done. We're playing games with Martin Courtney and Alex Bleeker from the band Real Estate. Are you ready for another game?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So this is exciting because you both told us that you are into music from the 90s. So Jonathan Colton will sing you the clues in this game called Other 90s.
Yes, we took songs from the 1990s and rewrote them to be about things from the 90s. But the twist is those things could be from the 90s of any century, 1890s, 1790s. 1690s. I won't list all of them. You understand. So to earn the point, all you have to do is tell me the 90s thing that I'm singing about, the song I'm parodying, or the artist who made it famous. And there's a bonus point if you also want to guess the century that the thing is from.
Okay.
So this first one is for you, Alex.
I spin this to see what's near. The map's not flat, 'cause it's a sphere. Equator goes round its girth. It sure is blue on this mini earth.
Okay, let me see how many I can do here. Harvey Danger, yeah. Paranoid.
Uh-oh. Martin's shaking his head. That's Harvey Danger
sick.
Is correct.
I mean, I know I'm not sick, but I'm not well.
Yeah, you know the song.
So it is Harvey Danger, but
it is
it's
Harvey
not
Danger.
Paranoid.
Flagpole Sitta is the name of the song.
I would never have known the name to that song in my entire life. I always thought it was Paranoid. Okay, so that 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue? Is that what we're singing about here?
It's a good... I mean, that's a fine guess. You're actually putting a lot of things together. I'm just talking about a spherical map is called a...
It's called a globe.
A globe, that is correct. We actually don't know for sure when the first globe was created, but the oldest globe still in existence, in what 90s was that globe created?
In the 1490s?
Yeah, 1490s.
Yes!
All right, Martin, here's one for you.
And all the mountains in the state are greeny. That snowboarder, she wears a tie-dye beanie. I love maple syrup, and that Ben and Jerry's makes me want to kiss a cow.
Well, that's Wonderwall by Oasis.
That is correct. And what is the thing that I am singing about?
Vermont? The state of Vermont?
The state of Vermont, that's right, correct. And for a bonus point, in what 90s did Vermont join the Union?
Okay, well, that's 1790s, I'd have to guess.
Yeah, that's correct, 1790s. 1791, in fact.
Got it.
I went to school in Vermont.
Oh, yeah?
And we're from New Jersey originally. As we probably mentioned earlier, and they have a little slogan up there. It says, "Don't Jersey Vermont," which I don't know, don't pave it over or something.
Unbelievable.
Don't ruin it is what they mean.
Wow. I always took, that was a harsh one for me.
Wow. All right, Alex, here's one for you. The name of this next song is a swear word, so you will have to figure out an NPR-friendly way to say the answer.
Okay.
Legs the frog, flash the dolphin, squealer pig, spot the dog, and I collected the whole crew. A belly stuffing zoo, gonna sell my whole stash. These things are worth that cash, now I'm gonna make a fortune on eBay.
Okay, it's a B word.
It is the B word, that is correct.
I actually forget who sings that song, though, but a great song.
It is a great song. It's by Meredith Brooks.
Thank you, Meredith, wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, were you singing about Beanie Babies?
I was singing about Beanie Babies. That's correct. This is probably going to be an easy bonus point for you, but what 90s are the Beanie Babies from?
1390s.
1390s is
that's
correct.
That's right. Yeah. That's why those collections are so valuable.
Yeah. They're worth a lot of money.
It's funny because that brand, Thai, like they still make things, you know, and they're make, like, I have three kids and like every once in a while, you know, someone will give them a doll with the heart tag on it. And it's like, you still like, it's like weirdly ingrained in me from being a kid in the 90s that like, you can't take that tag off. Like, it's like, and then it's like so cathartic to actually just take it off. You're like, just take the tag off. Like,
right. You know, like, all right. Last one is for you, Martin.
Cause I am hardly moving, and this is pretty sweet. I'm standing on a staircase, don't have to move my feet. You might think I'm lazy, I should use the stairs. But since I'm really out of shape, so out of shape, my answer is who cares?
All right, that was like my, I loved that song.
Me too.
It was such a good song. That's Duncan Sheik.
That's right.
Right? But I guess it, I'm guessing that it's called, like, I'm Barely Breathing. Is that
Barely
what it's
Breathing. That's okay, what it's called. Breathing. Exactly.
And you're singing about an escalator?
That is correct. Yeah, okay. You got all three. That's right. Bonus point is coming your way. When was the first earliest working escalator patented?
Maybe 1890s?
Yeah, you got it. 1890s. 1892. That's right.
Okay, great.
And it was actually introduced to the public in 1896 as a ride at Coney Island. As ride. Whee!
Fantastic. All the points. More points. So, great job.
Clean
great
sweep.
Job. Real Estate's latest EP is called Half a Human. Martin Courtney, Alex Bleeker, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having
me. Thanks, guys.
After the break, from Will and Grace, it's Sean Hayes. He'll tell us what it was like to return to his character Jack in the revival of Will and Grace, and we'll play a word game about sweet treats and medical conditions. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
Bill Curtis here. I love to laugh. It's my favorite. That's why I'll be watching the Wait Wait Comedy Club this Tuesday, May 18th. Alonzo Bowden, Maeve Higgins, Karen Shee, and Adam Burke are joining my best friend and co-worker, Peter Sagal, for an evening of LOLs. Please join us on a computer near you. Tickets are on sale now, so run, don't walk, to nprpresents.org to order.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, BetterHelp. It's easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself too thin. Therapy can provide the tools and self-awareness to help you learn how to recharge, define your boundaries, and build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp Online Therapy. Fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month. This message comes from NPR sponsor Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. Our special guest starred as Jack McFarlane in the sitcom Will and Grace. He co-hosts the weekly podcast Smartless with Will Arnett and Jason Bateman, and his new podcast, Hypochondriactor, explores medical mysteries. Sean Hayes, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Hi, you guys.
Hello.
Hey, I noticed on your social media that you have a dog, a newish dog.
I do have a newish dog. He's not quite a year. We got him. He's a golden doodle, and which is golden retriever and poodle for those listening that didn't know. And so I thought he was going to be like, you know, maybe 20 pounds, if that. 75 pounds, not done growing. He's gigantic. He's a horse. If you literally put a saddle on him, you could ride him down the 101. It's unbelievable. He's gigantic. His head is like the size of a fruit bowl. I don't know. It's just insane.
Did people do that thing when he was just 25 pounds that they would, you know, I feel like people look at the dog's paws and they're like, oh, yeah, you yeah. don't know what's coming.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, thanks. I got it. But yeah, yeah, everybody did that. The vet's like, oh, he's got, looks, yeah, he's got a long way to go. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, we still love him and big dogs are great. I just didn't know he was going to be that big. But you know what? You get what you get. And that's why I don't have children.
Does Ricky do any tricks? Are you those kinds of dog parents?
I mean, we're lucky if we can get him to come when he's called. He's just gives us the bird, the finger, and he's like, oh, really? What are you going to make me? But he literally will eat anything. We call his mouth the Chamber of Secrets because you could open it at any time during the day and fish out anything you're missing. I have a mouth guard because I grind my teeth. Yeah. Ate it. Like, this is two days ago. I'm like, where's my mouth guard? He chewed it and then ate it. His teeth look great, though.
Exactly. Perfectly He's not
straight.
Grinding.
Yeah, perfectly straight. Yeah. It's crazy.
So I want to talk a little bit about your life. Like, before you moved to LA, way back, you were a musical director at a dinner theater in Illinois?
That's correct.
What did that entail? And what was the dinner theater? What kind of stuff?
Oh, I'm going to launch into it right now.
Okay, great.
Sitting down. So I studied piano when I was a kid. I started lessons at 5 years old. It was my major in college. And when I got out, I thought I was going to compose music and be a conductor and all those kinds of things and play piano and tour and whatever. And then when I got out of college, one of my best friends, if not my best friend, her aunt, Diana Martinez, I could say that name. She was the director at the Pheasant Run Dinner Theater, and they were looking for a musical director. And this is wild. So Pheasant Run Dinner Theater was up and running. They had everybody there. They had a musical director. I was sitting at home, which is probably like a half hour away from the theater. And the phone rings and it's Diana. She's like, it's intermission right now. Intermission's only 15 minutes. If I hold intermission 10 extra minutes, can you get here? And I was like, why? What are you talking about? And she says, the piano player / music director has tendonitis. She can't even push down on one key. Like, she could barely get through the first act. And I was like, wait, what are you talking about? And she's like, just can you get here and play the second act? Okay, so I got there. And if you're familiar with musical theater back in the day, Tams Whitmark was the publisher that would publish the music. And it was these massive, tall, comedy-size books. And, you know, you had to reach real high to turn the page. It was just massive. And so I had no time. I sight read the second act in front of everybody. And if anybody knows anything about music, there was songs with like five flats in them, like G flat major. And I'm missing every other note. It was unbelievable, but I'm young, so I just thought,
just like, whatever,
feel invincible. Yeah, why not?
That is insane. That is absolutely insane. It's such a small number of people in the world who actually have the ability to do that. I mean, like, you know, I could sit down and try, right? I could do my best, but I would never try because there's no possibility that I could do. That's amazing.
Oh, well, and it's not only just music. It's a theatrical production is depending on
you. Yeah, it's a live show happening. Also.
and the band, and like, it was crazy. I couldn't believe it. And then I think I was 22 years old. And then then that show ended and it was a 2-show day. So in between shows, I had an hour and a half to then go up and practice the whole thing. And I grew up a little bit that day because one of the actors, and I won't say who it is, knocked on the door where I was in the practice room. And she's like, can we go over my stuff? Oh. And I looked at her and I was literally, if I had a knife, I would have stabbed her. I said, I have an entire show to learn in 1 hour. And I was like, oh my God, who is that guy? You know what I mean? I've never talked to anybody that way.
And she said, okay. And all of a sudden, like, oh, you understood what authority can do for you, right?
Yeah, well, I knew it's standing up for yourself because, you know, it was like, I had no choice but to talk to her that way. I was panicked. Yeah, I was
completely. Of course.
Panicked. I was like, oh my God. Anyway, that's that story.
But they gave you the gig. I mean, it was obviously, you know, they did have, maybe, I don't know if they had a lot of choices, but you went in there, you filled in, you did well and enough that they were like, come on back.
Yeah, and I stayed and I was like, oh, this is kind of what I wanted to do anyway. So there I was in the pit in this small dinner theater orchestra pit. And I would do all the shows, The Music Man and West Side Story and Evita and Oklahoma and all those standards. And but if you're anybody who's been in an orchestra pit knows it's like watching the same movie every single night over and over and over and over again. And you can't goof around. You can't talk. You can't do anything because you're stuck down there. But when you're backstage, you can do, you know, you come on, you do your thing, and you get off and you laugh and you do all those antics, those theater antics that are so funny. And I was like, I think I'd rather be up there. And that's when the switch started to happen. And I started taking it more seriously and would go on auditions downtown Chicago for commercials and movies and TV shows and stuff like that.
So I know you, of course, as Jack McFarlane on the NBC sitcom Will and Grace that started in 1998.
And it's still going.
Tended in 2006.
Yeah.
Rebooted in 2017.
That's correct, yes.
In the time in between the show ending and then the reboot, did you decide, I mean, did you change how you wanted to portray Jack? I mean, there was a while when you didn't know, obviously, but then you're going back.
It's interesting, you know, playing a character like that is a lot of work. But I don't want to diminish, like, there's also frontline workers. Come on, Sean. You know, they work a little harder.
Of course.
But to get, as an actor, to get into, I was off for so long playing that character. When we did the table read of the first episode of the reboot, I was like, oh, boy, your body feels it. You're like, oh, this is, I forgot how much work this is. So it was hard to get the energy and find the energy because it'd been so long. I was like, I don't remember what this is like. And then slowly it came back and you're like, okay. And then you build endurance again and you're fine.
Right. Because Jack is, I mean, I would say not subtle. This is not a subtle performance, right?
That is correct.
And you have a new podcast.
Yes.
Called The Hypochondry Actor.
Right, right.
You host the show with internist and comedian Dr. Priyanka Wally. And then in each episode, you bring on a guest and you guys talk about mysterious or interesting medical stories.
Yes, yes.
And quiz each other on medical history. And you start the episodes with your own medical story.
That's correct.
Story.
That's right.
So first of all, do you have enough medical ailments to sustain many seasons?
Listen and find out, because you know what? I do. And okay. It's really sad. No, we mix and match with those. And my favorite part of like talk shows is when people from all walks of life come on and share a medical issue that they've had, because it connects us, right? And it's like my dream come true. I get free medical advice. Yeah.
All right. Are you ready to play some games with us, Sean?
Yes, yes.
So we decided to combine your loves of musical theater and medical issues.
Oh, no.
In a game called Musical Injuries.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
So we're going to describe an injury suffered by a character in a Broadway musical.
And I'm bored.
And you could tell us what the musical is.
Okay. Okay.
And we're here for you. We're here for you.
Okay, good.
Okay.
It's already fun. Day.
Let's start with an easy one. Charles Lee is wounded, but not fatally, in the first of this show's three duels.
Oh, Hamilton.
Yes.
You know what? Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I love that music. Can't tell you anything the show's about. I feel like I'm the only one on the planet that was like, what's going on? I don't understand. There's three girls who like that guy, but then he's, wait, what? I didn't understand any of it.
All right, here's another one for you. The evil stepmother cuts off parts of her daughter's feet in an attempt to fit them into a slipper.
Yeah, is that Into the Woods?
Into the Woods, yeah. That's correct.
Yes.
That's right, back to the original aptly named Grimm version of the fairy tales.
Right. I saw not a great version of Into the Woods, which I love that show so much, a long time ago, and you know, the 10 freeway here. I got in my car and I said, yeah, I go into the car and off we go down the 10, don't drive too slow. The melody from Into the Night.
Once that opening number gets into your head, it's hard to get it
out. Yeah, it is.
All right. In this infamous show led to a bunch of actual injuries among its cast. But Act One ends with an out-of-control science experiment that turns Norman Osborn into the Green Goblin.
Oh, it's Spider-Man? Yeah.
Yes, Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark.
So I saw the first preview of that show.
And?
It stopped 5-6 times before the before the first act was over.
Wow.
And it was about, the first act was about 2.5-3 hours long because it kept stopping. And we had to leave. I had to leave because it was crazy. It was insane.
Wow.
All right, this is your last clue.
Yeah.
The Black Knight gets his arm chopped off and another arm and both legs and yet still somehow survives. Yes.
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 I love that show.
Oh, so good.
I mean, I love Monty Python. I love Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Yeah. One of my influences is great. I love them.
All right, Sean, we have another medical-themed game for you. We were very thankful to have a reason to do these.
Okay.
And I know you love puns.
Yeah, who doesn't? Yeah.
Okay, so this word game is called Diagnosis Dessert.
Oh, I love it already. Okay.
So every answer is a sweet treat combined with a minor medical condition.
Okay, okay.
For example, if I said, when I eat one of these small yellow citrus candies, I wince so hard I get tension pain in the brain. You would answer, lemon headache.
Okay, got it.
All right, here we go. This pill-shaped mint won't help you with your pimples, but it will make your breath kissably fresh.
Thinking tic-tac.
Yes.
I'm thinking it's tic-tac acne. Tic-tac-ne.
Tic Tac Me.
Oh, Jesus. That's nice.
Okay. I don't want to eat that swirled spiced and cream cheese frosted pastry because I'm worried it'll go right to my big toe, creating a bony bump.
Oh, I want to say bumpersinus.
you may know too much. Yeah, you might have the food item at breakfast time.
Yeah, I'm thinking like cinnamon roll. I'm thinking like...
Not cinnamon roll, but cinnamon...
Cinnabon. Cinnabunion!
Cinnamon bunion, that is correct.
As soon as I read cinnamon bun, I smell it.
You smell it. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
me so too, me too.
Anyways.
I like talking about it too because I gained... I'm not kidding. I gained over 20 pounds during COVID, right, over the year. And I just lost like 11 pounds. So even talking about pastry, I'm like, oh, would kill to have a cinnamon bun. Like, love it.
Okay. The only thing harder than passing up on one of these tart, sugar-coated, chewy candies is passing one of these hard calcium deposits.
Sugar-coated, chewy.
They're tart, sugar-coated, chewy candies.
Sour Patch Kids Stone.
Sour
Patch Kidney Stone.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Adorable. Isn't that adorable? As a matter of fact, I feel like I knew someone that, anyways, passed a kidney stone and then they got to take the kidney stone home with them or something or could look at it in a jar.
Mine. I have mine.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Here's another one. These oval Pepperidge Farm sandwich cookies are delicate and a bit dry, just like your nasal membrane when the heat's cranked up in your apartment.
Milano's.
Milano's is the first part. And what's the thing that happens sometimes in the winter when your nasal membranes get dry and...
A nosebleed. Milan nosebleed.
Yeah, yes. Milan nosebleed. That's right.
Oh, my God. That's great. That's cool.
Nothing's more American than this baked dessert, which I make using Pink Ladies. Pink Lady is also my nickname when I get conjunctivitis or a sty or another one of these conditions.
Well, you kind of said pink eye already. Like you said, Pink Ladies. Yeah. Right. Okay.
So the baked, the American baked dessert
pie
is
in the sky in your eye.
Apple pie.
Basically.
That is correct. Apple pie in the sky in your eye. It's a terrible medical condition. Anyway, we were looking for apple pie infection.
I eat an apple literally almost every day.
Do you like a crisp apple?
Crisp. Yeah, crisp and sweet.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys are crisp and sweet. So thank you. You guys are like a walking apple.
Usually I'm told I'm sour and pasty, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, I get it. I get the same thing.
Mealy and flavorless.
Do you guys keep candy in your house?
No, can't.
No, I don't. I can't. Children.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, we don't want them to be happy.
Well, they devour it instantly is the thing.
I know. I'm kidding.
But, you know, this is what happens to me when I even have, like, you know, a couple chocolate bars in the, I'll put them in the fridge.
Yeah, you just want more.
I sit there like on the couch working, email, whatever, and I am not concentrating. My head is in the fridge beside that chocolate bar. Exactly. Sean, thank you so much. Sean Hayes' new podcast, Hypochondriactor, is out now with new episodes weekly. Sean Hayes, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. This is so fun. I love it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Pleasure. That's our show. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by our staff, along with Nick Garrison, Scott Ross, and Emily Winter, and senior writers Camilla Franklin and Karen Lurie, with additional material by Kara Weinberger. Ask Me Another is produced by Travis Larchuk, Nancy Seychow, James Barber, and Ramel Wood. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal, and our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonias,
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. It's the end of the podcast, but it doesn't have to end here. Why not follow NPR Ask Me Another on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram? And you can give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the show. Next time on Ask Me Another, from the Netflix series Special, we have Ryan O'Connell, plus actor Micah Stock and comedian best-selling Play a Game About Ohio, which happens to be their home state. And podcast hosts Kenise Mobley and Rohan Padier. Guess which came first, sliced bread or the electric toaster? So join me on NPR's Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.
This message comes from NPR sponsor E-Trade from Morgan Stanley. Take control of your financial future with E-Trade. No matter what kind of investor you are, their tools and resources can help you be ready for what's next. Now, when you open an account, you can get up to $1,000 with a qualifying deposit. Terms apply. Learn more at etrade.com/NPR. Investing involves risks. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC. Member SIPC. E-Trade is a business of Morgan Stanley.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Rosetta Stone, an expert in language learning for 30 years. Right now, NPR listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to 25 different languages for 50% off. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as the Black experience, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.